So I'm gonna go in the big executive.
Yeah, register, yeah.
Is that supposed to be going that fast?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we are officially recording now, and we, it's April the 25th at 6:01 PM, and we're calling this School Health Advisory Committee meeting to order. I want to welcome you all here tonight. I think we have a couple of guests. Is that correct? Would y'all like to introduce, would you like to introduce your guests?
Okay, this is Nicole Nickerson.
Hey.
And this is Chrissy
Stewart.
I just introduced you all the whole time.
So I love it.
They are both called MFLAX, and the Department of Defense brings them in. They're military family life counselors.
Love it.
They all have attained their master's or PhDs. That's a requirement for them to be counselors to the military kids. So, y'all are up.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So, like Ms. Diane just said, I'm Nicole. I am a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, so I have a master's in marriage and family therapy. I am going to pass out some brochures for you guys to take. Well, I'm just bringing them down the table here. I have been doing the MFLAC program. August will be 5 years. I am the 12 adolescent MFLAC on Dyess Air Force Base. Christy is the school MFLAC for, if you want to, I'll let you say that.
Yeah, I'm the school MFLAC for Abilene High, Cooper, and Adams right now.
Yes.
So just the high schools.
Yeah. For MFLAC, it's MFLC, so if you ever see that acronym, that's us. The MFLAC program is a short-term non-medical counseling program. It's not a long-term therapy. We see kiddos up to 12 sessions. It is confidential, except for we do maintain a duty to warn. So if we hear of suicidal, homicidal ideations, abuse, neglect, illegal activity, or domestic violence, we do have to report that. Other than that, everything's confidential. We don't keep any records, and since we don't keep any records and we're non-medical, then we cannot see anybody that's in the system, so has a diagnosis or maybe criteria for a diagnosis. Whenever we start to see that, then we have to refer out, because that is then clinical, and they need to have notes to track the progress or the lack of progress at that point. I don't know if I said that it's free for active duty members, and it's only for active duty members, and if you have retired up to 6 months after retirement. National Guard. National Guard. If you're National Guard, you do qualify for the program. And then reserves. Mm-hmm. And reserves, any status, you can qualify. So those are the ones that can qualify. Let's see, if we are seeing a kiddo, then we do have to meet in line of sight. So we would have to meet in a room where there's a window, like these blinds are closed, so we would have to open the blinds, and just as long as like a staff member could see in. If a parent or staff member's in the room, then we don't have to worry about the in line of sight. But we can meet on or off base. We cannot meet in homes, cars, transport, no dark alleys, nothing like that. We steer clear of those. But we can meet on or off base as long as we are meeting with that in line of sight protocol. I'll say the only difference with me is since we have Christy, who's at the school, at the high schools, if there was a kiddo that wanted to see me and not Christy for some reason, maybe a dual relationship, then if the parent was like, well, can you just go to Cooper High School and go see my kiddo, I'd be like, no, I can't step into that because we already have Christy there. That's her role, and she's got the clearance to be at Cooper High School. So I can't step into the schools, but I can most definitely meet at the library, not in the school, but the public library. Let's see, did I mention everything? Honor on face, free, duty to warn. We do presentations. In the brochure, there's a list of some of the things that the topics that we talk about, and we also have presentations on those topics.
And Christy can do those presentations at the schools.
Can I ask?
And so I think that's pretty much everything. So we can see up to age 18. If they're 18 and they're still going to school, they're under parents' roof, then we can see that. If they're 18 and graduated, then they would go to the adult NFLAC.
And we have those on base as well?
Yes.
We have about
seven of them? Well, we have that many spots available, but we only have 1, 2, 3 now.
Oh,
we've lost a couple. Yeah. So we have a couple of adult spots open. So, like I said, I think I've hit most of it. We can definitely answer any questions, but Christy, if you have anything to add.
Tell them what you do in the school.
What you've done in the schools.
Well, I've just gone into the schools and I've done presentations, a lot of presentations with the high school students on communication and through relationships and some emotional management type things. I'm preventative. I'm there daily. At some high school in town, I'm there daily. We don't have places to be, though, so I have to go to the library or...
Like, we don't have a set office.
We don't have a set office.
We're working on that.
We don't have a set office. And so that does get a little hard when, you know, there's testing going on and they use the libraries. The thing that we are there is preventative. So what happens is if the school counselors know that we're there and they have a military student come in or even the crisis counselor, and they're trying to find outside counseling, they can steer them in our direction, which opens up a space for someone else. And so that works great, because then that's two people getting counseling versus just one, because you know. So one of the things is that it's important, the schools, you know, there's not a lot of military students, so it's hard for them to even know who is military. There's only 120 at Cooper, 130 at Cooper. Right now, the list shows 37 at Abilene High and 30 at Adams. But I think that there's good possibility.
I can tell you that is incorrect.
I was going to say that surprises me.
Oh, it's correct.
Oh, that's not correct.
And so that is something we're going to have to work on, is being able to identify who our military students are just a little bit better, probably.
Mm-hmm. And they also, my NFLAX that would normally be in the elementary school and middle schools also do a lot of the lessons with the staff.
Yes.
The principal will ask and they'll... Whatever that they have,
right?
They'll set up time and they'll do lessons with the staff, and the staff has loved it. I was really surprised. I figured they'd be like me. My eyes would be rolling back in my head.
Sorry.
I fully admit that.
We can support the staff, the teachers. We can provide the presentations to the teachers and the staff members of the schools as well. We have a scope, so if a teacher does invite us into the room, if there's a kiddo that's non-military and the teacher wants us to work with them, obviously we can't. That kid's out of scope. Now, if it's a military kid and they have a diagnosis, or we've observed, we can do observations too. That was something else. We can observe the classroom and then give feedback to the teacher as well. But if we've observed this kiddo and we're like, okay, definitely meeting criteria for a diagnosis, autism spectrum, you know, whatever, and then we cannot directly work with that child, but we can help the teacher and say, okay, so these are some things that you might want to try. Obviously we're working with some social emotional skills that this kiddo really needs help with, and so maybe try this approach. But we cannot work directly with that kiddo.
Because there's no diagnosis.
Right.
Well, no.
And, go ahead, yes.
Like we
sorry,
cannot work
I'm relating
with
to last week.
Yeah, you're good.
We went through, this is where you learn
and
whether the parents are ready to hear what you need to tell them.
There's that. So, yes, we also work with the parents if they're willing to listen and if they want to. We have consent forms that we send out for the schools, and the parent will just sign, they'll either mark yes, then black can, or no, don't want them black to speak with my child. And so that would just go in files that the
yes.
Right, okay, so in
yes.
The file that the school has. And again, we work with adjustment issues, so transition, deployment, relocation, separation, building resiliency, coping skills, relationship issues, peer relationship issues, communication. I mean, we definitely work with a lot, even grief, divorce, let's see, decision-making skills and parenting skills. So there's a lot that we can do. There is a scope, but there still is many more. There are many more things that we can do to work with kids. So we support pretty much everybody. I mean, the school, the principal, the teachers, the staff, the kids, the parents.
They just have to find time in that week.
Yes. And they have to come to us. We can't cold call. We can't just walk up and say, hey, you know, here's my card. It looks like your class could use some of this, or, you know, we can't do any of that. So it's up to the principal, the teacher, whoever is needing that assistance to come up to us and ask us for that. Because, again, we can't cold call and just solicit our services.
I have a question.
Yes.
So what about, are y'all available for the ROTC students? Is that considered people that are within your scope?
So they have to be military dependent, like active duty.
Okay.
But they do work with the ROTC as well, especially Teresa. Teresa was my NFLAC last year, and she abandoned me and went over to the family, to the 317, the C-130 side wing, and went to do adults and families.
Mm-hmm.
But she did the high schools last year, and she really did use the ROTCs a lot because they got her out into the areas. Those kids knew a lot of the military kids, so it made it a little. And then she did a lot,
mm-hmm.
And so has Christy. They've been working Christy right now.
I can imagine. And the other question I had is, just a case scenario. I know that I work with the crisis counselor at the high school on different things that I work with. And so if I heard you correctly, you said that you could go out of the military scope if the crisis counselor had a load on her and or him, and then they referred or not?
And the person they refer has to be a military.
It all has to be military.
It all has to be military.
Now, what you may have heard me talking about earlier is there might be an issue where they get a student in that's military, but the problem ends up being between a military student and a non-military student. Then they'll probably have to get with another counselor, or they can work at it with them, but they primarily have the military student. Did that make sense? Did I say it right?
Okay.
Not in my scope.
Gotcha.
And if we say, you know, Christy's at the school and she's doing, is there like a hangout time or anything that they'll have? Okay, I'll use mine. Okay, so I'm the NFLAC on Dyess Air Force Base, so I'm at the Child Development Center and the Youth Center. So there are some civilian kids that are at the youth center that go there. It's an after-school
right.
care center. And so if I'm there and I'm hanging out with some of the military kids, then there will sometimes be a civilian kid. Are they within scope? No. But am I going to say, no, little Johnny, you know, you go play over there because you're not military. No, that will not happen. That will not happen. Now, if we are having a group presentation on deployment and there's some military kids that their parents want them to go to that NFLAC, that will be, okay, we just need military kids. And that will obviously be orchestrated well and good. Where they know.
Those are great services. Mm-hmm. Very needed.
Any other questions? Thoughts?
No, no. So just so you all know, they're both local, and Christine has taught in the Abilene District for several years before.
Well, I taught at Abilene High. It was a long time
ago. So she's got school guidance counselor, LPSD, and LMFT, so yeah. That really helps.
She was a guidance counselor out of Haskell, right?
Yes, I was.
So she's a local girl all the way around. I was all excited.
Can I get you a sign? Yes, while you're just balloons. Yes. John?
No.
Just sign this for one space. Okay. So that I'm not as bad.
Oh, and the card inside of these, that's my number. So if you call it, you'll get me. We have our own phones, and I'm my own reception. So you'll get my voicemail. Just leave a message with a good call back, and I'll call you back within 24 hours.
Yeah, no one else is allowed to answer their phone,
right.
So if they're in a session.
Mm-hmm.
They'll call you back.
Okay, great. Anybody else have questions or comments? We appreciate
yes.
you so much.
Yeah. So hopefully next year, I'll bring them back and there'll be like five or six of them and more of Nicole.
Yes. Yes. We definitely have an easier time getting adult influx than child and adolescent. And just already in the community, our child and adolescent therapists are overloaded. And so trying to find child and adolescent NFLAX is kind of rare.
Trying to hand off some of the kids and students that we have that they know need to, there's nobody to hand them to.
Exactly.
They're, you know, oh, well, yeah, in 6 months. Of course, I do use Erica. Erica was my school NFLAC for Dias Elementary last year. She had the nerve to take the professorship at ACU, and she has her own practice on top of that. And I was like, really? Don't you want to come back? No. They love it, but they want to do some other things, and the professorship just came up. So.
And having an office in
yes,
space
it would be
is,
nice.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we do need.
So next year, that'll be
positions that
it's just
an office.
We haven't had them in the schools, and so it's hard transitioning into being in that role a little bit because they don't know you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have great school counselors, just so you know, you have great school counselors. They're wonderful. The principals are wonderful. They've helped all that they can, you know. It's just a situation of trying to find that place where they understand our role versus at the same time we... You know, sometimes that's hard to do when we're only seeing the military students and there's so many others. You know, that gets a little difficult.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
And this program came about a little bit along the lines when they came out and said, and they've been kind of keeping an eye on the mental health and what are you doing in your school districts for mental health in the Department of Defense said that they were going to step up and start getting them out there. So they did in the Army. They started with the Army first because they're the largest. And they're in a ton of schools. Fort Hood, I think, has like 12 embedded. The school NFLACs are called embedded, and the ones that deploy with the units on base are embedded NFLACs. The rest can transition around like this one does. No more questions, comments, concerns?
No, but I'll probably be hitting you up.
Sounds good.
And if you can't get a hold of them, you can just get a hold of me and I'll track them down.
Yeah.
That's what they do to me. Diane. No. I tell them no.
Anybody want to take a few extra or are you good?
I will. I will before I leave town.
Okay.
And I will too because I can give them to the school nurses, middle school and high school.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
You can get them to all the ages, because hopefully they'll be seeing kids in the elementary schools.
That's great. Yeah.
Mr. Drake really was disappointed not to get one, and we did try. We had several applications, but either they didn't pass the background check or they just decided that it wasn't for them. And they came out this year, the contractors, and they said they were not going to pay. I call it room and board.
Yeah, they're not going to pay. They were going to pay non-local.
Yes.
And so
getting
locals. Limited our pool again, yeah. So.
Getting locals in Abilene with their master's and PhDs is, you know, we're pumping out all kinds of really good youngins that have their bachelor's and are on their way to working at their other way, but they won't take those.
Let's see. Oh, I was going to say that, since I am DIAS, CYB, Child Youth Behavioral, MFLAC, any kid that is military, I can see. So it doesn't matter what school they go to. Now, if we have an MFLAC there, I will say, well, let's utilize the MFLAC that we have in your school. Because if we don't use them, we lose them. But if there is some dual relationship or an issue, you know, I can see them. But like Christy, she's Cooper High School kids, Abilene High School kids, and Adams. Yes. And so if there's a Wiley High School kid that's like, oh, I want to, you know, see an MFLAC, it would go to me. Because we don't have a Wiley MFLAC out there. And she's only for AISD High School. So if y'all come across any kid that is not any of hers, then you can definitely send them my way. It's a lot, but
it's great.
It's okay. I managed it pretty well, I think, so far.
That's good information. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anything else?
See you tomorrow.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you, Diane, for that. Uh-huh. We appreciate it.
You all have a good evening.
You too. Okay.
You can take a taco salad with you.
I was going to say.
I know.
Or at least get a brownie. Uh-huh. Come on.
Well,
that's what I'm doing.
I like the brownie.
Exactly. Feel free.
And look what I brought you.
Yes. Yes. I was not home, but I did think of you.
So I'll put a plug in. If you all know of anyone who has their master's and PhD and would like to go into the program, they can contact either one of these two, because they'll be able to give them the information on who they need to contact to put in an application. And the application process for next year has already started.
Bye. Thank y'all.
I'm going to backtrack for a second because we did not do the minutes.
Sorry. It got there one long here.
It got there.
I mean, you know, they needed to. It's awesome, though. So everybody got a copy of your minutes from last meeting on February the 28th. If you would look over those or have looked over those. And when you are satisfied with that, I'll need a motion to accept those minutes or any corrections that need to be made.
Has everybody looked at it? I motion that we accept them as
read. Diane made a motion to accept. Do I have a second?
A second.
Linda, a second? All in favor? And we accepted the minutes as they are. Now we can move on. Next is the Champion Fuel Food Program from Canvas.
Okay, great. I wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of things that are going on with the Student Nutrition Department in Abilene ISD. I don't know if you realize that last year we were operating under a seamless summer option, which was COVID-19 related. And so they had approved that all of the students from in Evelyn ISD could have a nutritious breakfast and lunch for free. We normally operate under the National School Lunch Program, which, as you all know, is the applications we have paid, free, and reduced. And so it was a great program. Our participation is up. Kids are actually coming and eating a good breakfast and a lunch. It's been great. We have loved it. Unfortunately, the Universal Free Act, which is what the Seamless Summer Option was based on, went to the Congress attached to other items that they would not pass. And so the waiver for us doing Seamless Summer actually expired, and so we're not going to be able to do that this coming year. So it left us with the decision to either go back to the National School Lunch Program, which would place a financial burden on almost all of our families here. We're 70% socioeconomically disadvantaged in Abilene. And so we just didn't really feel really good about that. And so we decided to go to a new program called the Community Eligibility Provision. And what that means is that we could continue to offer free breakfast and free lunch to the students of Abilene for the next 4 years before we would have to reapply. Now, we're not locked into that program, so if something happens that we change demographically and that social economic factor goes down, we can always look at something else. But for right now, where we're at, it's a program that really will meet the needs of our community. We, like I said, are 65 to 70% free and reduced anyway. And so the decision really came down to we put our numbers in. There's a report, a financial report we have to do every year to see if we qualify. And so I hate to say thankfully we did qualify, because then that means your demographic area is poverty stricken. But it is nice that we were able to continue on, because one of the things that our passion and mission truly is to feed the children of Abilene. And a lot of students were only getting two nutritious meals a day. I mean, they get breakfast, they get lunch, and then sometimes dinner's iffy for them, especially with gas high, inflation high. And the families that are hit really hard are that middle income group. They're just a little bit over what SNAP would be, which is food stamps, and just, you know, that middle wage income earner. And so we're really excited about that. So as we looked at that moving forward, we also had the opportunity to partner with Be a Champion. And that's a program that comes in where we can only, each grouping can only do, like for us, two meals. And so Be a Champion comes in under it's called CACFP, the Child Adult Program. And they come in the afternoon, 2 hours after we quit serving, and they're in the secondary schools, which is middle schools and high school, and they are giving out what I would call a dinner, a heavier snack that can be a dinner meal. And the nice thing about this program is that it picks up. So we've had them for breakfast, lunch, now they're getting dinner. And this program operates a lot like our summer feeding program does. Anyone 1 to 18, they can eat. So in the only stipulations for the Be a Champion program is there has to be an after-school activity. Now, that doesn't mean that the children have to be in the after-school activity. If they're having band practice at 6, all children can eat. And if they have siblings who come with mom to pick them up, those kids can eat. And so it kind of really does an outreach for that third meal. And so we're excited to partner with them. And I hear the results are great. They're feeding about 150 meals per campus. And so it's been such a great hit with the Cooper Athletics that they were wanting to know, can we continue until the last day of school, which as long as there's an after-school program, we can feed the kids. And then what that will do is then that rolls into our summer feeding program, where we feed children for free, 18 to 1 year old. We're at 17 different sites this year. And so we have like 6 summer schools will be feeding breakfast and lunch. And then we also have sites around like rec centers and different sites around the facility. So we're really excited about the opportunity to work with the community, you know, help them during this financial time. And some of the nice things that it does is it takes away that child who comes through the line that we have to take the tray, give them a cheese sandwich because we can't incur negative debt, which none of us like that. And so it really just gives us the option to help you guys or help the teachers and the education group not try to teach a child who's hungry, you know. And so anyway, we're really very excited about that. And then this year is our triennial assessment that falls on the nutrition department for the wellness policy. And that's part of the Healthy Hunger Act that we're required to make sure that we meet all the smart snack guidelines. So we have a calculator out there. We work with school districts. You actually have 5 days that you don't have to participate on that. And so if a principal's having something kind of special that they want to do, we can do a waiver for that. But anyway, Linda and I and Scott McClain met on the wellness policy. And basically, it's something that we just review over to make sure physical activity is addressed, you know, nutrition is addressed, that we have a place, a plan in place to help families develop healthy habits with their kids and to be, as an education, supportive of that. And so some of the things that we're going to do in the upcoming year, COVID really kind of hit our nutrition education program real heavy because we couldn't actually go out to the campuses to do that. But some of the things that you'll see us start up again now, that hopefully if COVID stays out of the way and stuff, is we're going to have our dietitian, who I believe she comes to this meeting, Chelsea, she's going to take on, and I want her to move into some nutrition education, working with the principals to see how we can incorporate, you know, education for the kids, try some new recipes. We have a call it Taste It Tuesday that we used to do that the kids really liked, where they could try like different fruit. We'd give, you know, recipes, try different recipes with stuff, just to kind of give them an idea of different things. Like, I had never had dragon fruit, and I didn't even know what it was, but it's like really great. So I was like, that's a great idea. Take it out there. And the kids really, some of them surprise you at some of the stuff that they have tried. And so we're really excited about that. But I just was excited to get to come to this meeting to talk to you guys, to let you know that we really, I think as a school district, have really taken every step possible to try to help families recover not only from the pandemic, but from the inflation that is just extreme right now, you know, and with gas and stuff. Do you have any questions?
Where does the funding come from? Just general.
The funding is USDA. It's all federal funding. We don't get reimbursed by any kind of tax dollars. It is basically on. We're required to have 3 of the 5 components, and it's USDA funding.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to? I know when I was still on a campus, I would sometimes write Fuel Up to Play 60 grants, or try to get them.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to go out and get things like that.
No.
You just...
No. Now, we do have the opportunity to participate in grants. And we used to do, like, different Fuel Up. We did the garden to farmer to garden. I mean, there's some things that we do just because it's great if you can get that grant money. To be honest with you, we got a $385,000 grant for milk, because we could not get, it wasn't that milk wasn't available, the packaging was not available. And so we have had shortages on everything. I mean, even at the beginning of the year, we were taking the trays, cutting them in half, using the flat side for breakfast and the other side for lunch, because trays, and it's not that the raw materials are not there, it's that the labor is not there.
That's right.
And so, and they even, like, our tray people, they were offering $24 in an hour and could still not get people. And of course, I don't know what their demographic area is up where those were being done, or if that's even, you know, a good salary for that area. But it really has been crazy. You know, we could not get any weenies for the first semester, and then when we finally got the weenies, we couldn't get hot dogs. I mean, so it has been, we have really just, and of course we have a 3-week menu, but we, our menu planner is Kathy Mann, and I tell you, she has more than earned her salary this year, because the menu changes daily. And the problem is school districts are not like you would be in the real world, where when a truck comes in, if they don't have cans for the Dr. Pepper and Pepsi, they're going to let you know they don't have it. No, not this group. You're expecting 60 cases of something and you get nothing and don't know it until you open up the door and say, wow. But they are learning. They're learning. They've just never had to experience that before. And so now we're very lucky. We were able to operate off what they call capital emergency expenditures. And so when we were having our tray issue, we were able to do an emergency expenditure and buy some from Mead in different places in town. And so that helped us. And Mayfield Paper Company was great to help us. And so, in fact, they were so good to us because they are not an approved vendor for us. We're on the MRPC bid, which is great for us because it brings all of the districts together and you leverage more buying power that way. But as soon as they found out that we were having a problem, them being an Abilene company, they gave us half of anything they got in, which they did not have to do because we really had never bought from them. And so they are now our just best friends, and we just cannot thank them enough. You know, I mean, it is. But like I said, it has been a learning experience. And you have to think, too, we went at the last report I did at the end of March, we had fed 912,000 school meals last year. This year we're 1.2 million meals. And so not only were we feeding more children, but we didn't have the stuff to feed them. And so it has been, but everybody has gotten first to last, which of course is our goal. It may not have been the menu planned, and it may be on half a tray, but we have managed, and we even were proactive enough to bring in sacks. I mean, we were ready to do whatever we had to do. But if you have been out at the schools, you'll notice those black Ibex trays, you can't get those at all. We still can't get them. And so you'll notice plastic cups took the place of that because you just had to do the best that you could try to do to get through it. But it has lightened up. And so, and of course, with the lightening up, the government quickly comes in and takes away all of your waivers. As you know, that intelligent thinking. But anyway, so we don't have a lot of the waivers that we had before, which one of those is non-congregate meals. That gave us the ability for parents to pull up and get food for the kids and take it home. If the kids had COVID or something like that, they quickly did away with that. And so anything that was really attached to COVID-19, you know, it is no longer. But like I said, luckily, it's kind of one of those mixed blessings things, is you don't really want your area to be demographically 70% socioeconomically disadvantaged. But at the same time, it's lucky for us. We had three schools which did not qualify for it. It was Dice, Ward, and Adams. And the way that the community eligibility provision works is you get a percentage of kids at the free rate, and then you have to pay a percentage of kids at the paid rate. Without the three schools who didn't qualify, we could have gotten the reimbursement at 94% free and 6% paid, but we weren't going to leave out anyone. And so we put all the schools together, which drops our percentage for reimbursement down to 89% free and 11% paid. But, you know, we didn't want to take anyone not being able to eat, you know, and so we were able to, you can by census kind of tie the schools together as sister sites, and that's what we did. And so, but we're excited about it. And our main goal is to feed the children of Abilene.
Do you find that during the, I'm sorry, I'm taking
up no, you're questions. Fine.
That during the summer, there's not as much waste, you know. When I was in, I'd walk by the cafeteria, you'd see them dumping their whole tray.
Yeah, and the problem is the Healthy Hunger Act was designed, it's built on a good premise, but it's great to have whole fruit, it's great to have vegetables, and it's great to have low sodium. But the problem is when the food doesn't taste good, the kids aren't going to eat it. I mean, yeah. They're kids that have been raised on fast food. I mean, they're not kids like when I went to school, we didn't eat out. I mean, my mother was, we're going to eat at home, that's it. first time I tasted a taco, I thought, wow, this is great if it wasn't homemade, you know. But, I mean, it's just a different environment. And so, we had a big petition that we put up to go to Congress for the free meals as well as the sodium requirements. And they just don't realize the waste you have. In the summer, to be honest with you, we do a more simpler menu, which is not as it still meets all the component requirements, but they're allowed to have a little bit of different menu, which is nice. And so in the summer schools, we do the same thing. And so we do have less waste, you know, but it is, you know, that it's terrible to see the kids throwing the food away.
Yeah.
And believe me, on the financial side, it's terrible to see them throwing the food away, but it's just
going to be a knife to your heart when you all work so hard to achieve getting them fed, and then
really the goal, you know, I feel like it should be, is that we need to feed the children. We don't need to be worried about the Healthy Hunger Act, but unfortunately we have to operate under that. And you know, to me, it kind of gets away from the sense that, you know, the people who are in student nutrition, you know, it's not a rich making opportunity, you know, but they have such a passion, and it's a ministry really for us to feed the children. And so to see them throw it away, or to see a little child trying to get that apple, you know, in their mouth and stuff. And of course we do the sliced apples for the smaller children, but you know, you're fighting a market that is, even though I will say we've had some samples come in where they have gone back to the board and they're much more marketable looking. And so hopefully the kids will be more attracted to that, because people buy with their eyes. I'm notorious for that. Well, I want to try those. I don't know. What is that? And so, but anyway, like I said, it is a shame. But again, I think Chelsea, with her nutrition education, we're going to try some different recipes with stuff. They have some really great ideas. Some of the marketing tools coming out have new ways to incorporate stuff where they can try it in a little bit different presentation, and maybe the flavor profile will be better.
So glad that all this has happened. It's something I've wanted since my kids were in elementary school, and they're in college now.
So. I'm excited about it. I'm excited that we have like I said, it's kind of a mixed blessing, because you don't want anyone to be poverty stricken. You just don't. But it's a blessing that we have such a good district, and they have supported every step that we have taken to try to, you know, my thought on it is I've always felt kids should eat free if they go to school, you know, and not to say that that's right or wrong, but I do feel like that we're at it's a nice, coming off a seamless summer, it would have been devastating to come back in with gas as high as it is, inflation at 8.5, I think that was the last CPI, you know, and tell people, you know, even if it's $3.50, if you have four kids, that's a lot of money every day times 179 days, you know, and so it adds up really quick for a family who is struggling. And, you know, even now people are deciding between, well, I don't need five streaming services, goodbye. You know, I mean, Netflix fell in the stock yesterday drastically because families are now making the cuts of what's important. And I know from having my grandkids, it's not cheap. Even if you think you're going to prepare it yourself, it's still not cheap. You know, it's, how did we spend $30 for lunch for the week for you two, you know? And so it really, but I am thankful that we can do it. And we're excited about it. And we put in our application to get it approved. And so now we'll just see and move on. But we're excited about that opportunity.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
So now we can do it. She can go back and fill out that, yes, we did go
That's
over
right.
the wellness policy.
Yes,
and we
all
make a check
it.
On that thing.
Yeah, and add it to my audit book. All I'll need is the minutes and the...
Yes, row. And I will get those to you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
I was going to tell you, when she was talking about shortage and everything... We've had so many refugees or people coming into the school system, and of course their shop records, they are so
non-existent.
They might maybe have one or two shots, and you're just like, okay, do they have a measles mumps? We don't want to start, you know. But anyway, the health department is having a hard time with their vaccinations. They had a truck that was over a week in progress here, and they said they were afraid when it finally got here last week that all the shots would be bad because of the refrigeration and everything. And so, y'all, I mean, we're having kids go over to the health department for shots, and they're out of so many different shots, so they're not getting these shots, and they need to get enrolled in school. And I've never thought that we would be so stuck on not being able to provide immunizations in the USA to kids, but it's really become an issue. So hopefully the suppliers start sending more vaccinations, because we really are having to enroll a lot of kids that do not have vaccinations. So
The health department told me that we're getting a lot of Afghanistan mm-hmm. refugees. Okay. I was curious about that.
Yep. Don't you wonder how they end up in Abilene, Texas?
It's the cost of living.
I was going to say the cost of living is
The cost of living in the community is pretty good about, you know.
We are a very...
Churches.
Yeah. Yes. This community, and I can tell you this from the reentry side of it, there are people who are incarcerated who reach up to this community, especially because of our resources. We are an extremely abundant, resource-friendly community. There are so many nonprofits and things that are available in Abilene, Texas. There just are. Things that you would never dream are available here.
And when are they supposed to open up the border? That's what I was...
It's coming. Early May.
It's already open.
I was going to say, basically it is. I mean,
I'm not touching that. It's been open.
Yes.
2,000 a day, right?
Yep.
Wow. So...
Any other things that we needed to discuss?
I will be writing the letter of recommendations or
for the
SHAC report for the school board. And so if you have any, you know, things that you want me to include on it, please.
What do we need to include this year?
Well, this year, because, I mean, they have to approve the two health books, mm-hmm. which has not gone in front of the board yet. But those two books will be approved. And the sex ed... education will not be decided on. That'll be a big project that this committee will take on again next year, because the health book that we get approved will have to look at the sex ed component that will go
yes.
with it.
So we didn't, I thought we approved a book.
Well, see, and that was one thing when we went through all this before.
Yeah.
We knew that the state was going to do a House bill of...
42? No. 1825,
isn't it?
1825.
1520. Yeah, 1520. I think. So, that would kind of put more restrictions and more about sex ed, which they did.
What you all approved, though... was 2011.
Oh, no. We've approved something.
No, it was copyright on it.
Oh,
copyright.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So,
well, but didn't we take a piece from... It wasn't all one. It was one company, but I'm going to have to go back in my... I saved all those things you had as goods.
Yeah.
We had like 8 different manuals in different companies. And how many did we have come in?
There was 5
5 or 6 mm-hmm. came in.
But now that the teaks are changing, therefore the textbooks are changing, and so therefore they're going to relook at sex. They are going to look at sex ed, not me. I'm retiring. So. So because of some of the new teaks, it's basically a whole new game.
Mm-hmm. And there's really only one textbook that's there's really only one that's 100% approved. So I mean it's.
But it's we're still at who's going to teach it.
Right.
Oh,
just
wow.
Keep emphasizing that we need consistency.
Absolutely.
Yes. Definitely need
consistency. Absolutely.
My
consistency
opinion,
is key.
I mean, when you have...
Teresa, are you listening?
Consistency is absolutely key.
I will say next year, it will be done...
As far as we've been told, the same way it was this
way.
Year.
As this year. But next year, the shack will have the big responsibility to look through the different programs and pick a program to recommend to the board for approval that will go with the health book that they pick.
And are you going before the board at the next board meeting?
For a vote, the textbooks.
Right.
It's been
I'll be
presented.
Okay.
The textbooks have been presented for
it got presented here in
and
April.
Health at the board meeting. Last board meeting, it was presented, but they didn't
vote
on it. They will vote on it this next one. May 5th, I think?
No.
I think so.
Is it that soon? Isn't it the
it's
second?
May the...
That's right.
May
8th.
Okay.
May
yes.
the 8th.
Yeah, because the 6th is a Friday.
May the 8th. I already have it on my calendar.
Yeah. May 8th?
Yes.
Last year, I think we did it at the... Agenda board meeting, workshop meeting. Sorry, let me get the right name. Last year they read it at the workshop. Yeah. Okay.
Anything else? If not, then it is 6:53, and I call the meeting adjourned.
Woohoo!
Thank y'all for coming.
Thank you so much.